B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, white lines, get in line. Here we go. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I saw the call about the... Did I tweet at someone last night? And I said, I don't... My Twitter account... I never get on it, but I do have a Twitter account, which is a random name and numbers I follow. I have zero followers, and it's private. I have no avatar. I'm a blank avatar.
You're an egg.
Now it's a silhouette. I'm a silhouette. That's right. But I don't remember how I found this person. I honestly don't. But it was... A response to, I don't know how I found it, but now I'm fascinated. Okay, there's a guy named, I don't want to ruin it. Should I say his name? Because I don't want to ruin it if it's real.
Just say his first name.
All right, it's a guy on Twitter named Eric. Now, it's someone who says they're from New York, 17 plus thousand followers. And the first thing I saw was this video, and I will play it for you.
So, my nephew called me last night. He's 16. And he asked me a question every uncle dreads. He said, Uncle Eric, do you believe in Santa Claus? I said, you know what, man? I've asked Santa for a lot of things over the years, but I never got what I wanted. So he said, well, what'd you ask for? I said, well, I asked for world peace. I asked for less wars. I asked for unlimited medicine for everybody from the United States. And most importantly, I asked for a date with Megan Fox at California Adventure. But none of that ever happened. He started laughing. So I said, Leo, what are you laughing at, man? He said, Uncle Eric, I gotta be straight up with you. I've been riding with Santa back and forth all year, and... He asked me to tell you, he hasn't forgot about what you wanted. It's just taken him longer than he expected. I heard that and I started crying. You know, this year has been not very chill. And I think the best gift we can give ourselves is to believe in the impossible. So, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Whichever one you celebrate. Peace.
Okay, so I saw that, and I go, and it's got everything. He's chewing gum. You know that thing when dudes film themselves on the internet, and they're, like, looking around, and then they'll, like, look at the camera, and then they'll, like, glance their eyes off to the side. Like, that,
like smile to themselves.
That, yeah, that effing annoying, like, the cadence of it. Like, the content's awful. Like, this year's not been very chill. And my nephew asked me the thing that every uncle, you know, is afraid of. And you're like, okay. So I go, is this a real person? So or is this a brilliant person?
Don't forget the music in the background. Like, the little guitar. Like, dude,
yeah.
Dude.
All right. So I continue to venture into this Eric person's account. And here is another video.
So I just ran 7 miles. I feel full of life. And I feel like I could live forever. But if I don't, I'm okay with that.
If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
I would ask him, how dare you, man?
What do you mean?
I mean, how dare he create a world so rich, so intricate, so full of life, so pleasurable, and only give me such a limited amount of time, you know what I mean? I want to see it all.
All right, now do two people of this exist, like this exist, and they've actually met, and they've found a way to share the message? And I will give you this. I don't know what video this is, but this is Eric again, and I will give you...
Well, by the way, in between all these videos, he's, like, tweeting pictures of, like, Times Square, and it says, this city's going to break my heart.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, pictures with him with his shirt off.
There's one. There's a picture in black and white of him making the serious face with these, like, Dre Beats headphones, and it said, almost done listening to every holy book on tape, Bible, Buddhist text, etc., a lot to process.
All right, and here is the final one.
This goes out to everyone, especially men, who are afraid to show how they really feel. Let it out, dude. It's gonna be okay. I was happy in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job, and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. In my life, why do I give valuable time to people who don't care if I live or die?
All right, you start asking questions after that one.
Yeah, that's a Smith song.
Because I know. And so, yeah, everyone knows it's a Smith song. So it's a Smith song, so he knows the Smiths, and he's singing it, and he tries to hit the high note. Now, is this guy being sincere, and he's the world's biggest douchebag? Or not even douchebag, but just the world's most... the world's most...
it's got a little McConaughey in there.
Yeah, like, he doesn't... The least self-aware person on the planet. Or is he a brilliant satirist of the internet and these kinds of people? And what's funny is if you look at the comments, there's people that are playing along and like, dude, like, you know, you're breaking my heart, and like, dude, this made me cry. Like, there's people that are like egging him on. But then there are people asking the same questions as me. This has become a bit of a mystery. Is this guy brilliant and a brilliant satirist of people like this on Twitter, and he's just doing it perfectly? Or is this the pinnacle of everything that we've been waiting for in terms of people filming themselves?
Well, Fred, it's 10 times funnier if it's real. We know that.
Yes.
It's way funnier if it's real. But I give the guy credit, even though it's definitely a parody. It's
you
very
think so?
Funny. Yeah, there's no question. Because, I mean, you scroll down, you look at enough of this. I mean, there's one that's got, it says, working on something big, updates to come. And it's got a picture of Clive Owen and then his head photoshopped next to him with his name underneath it. Like he's going to be interviewing Clive Owen or something.
Can someone answer the phone? Because yes. I think someone might have, if someone has any kind of information, I would love to know it.
I mean, there's, and all the, you know, it's...
So you don't think he's just insane?
No, I don't.
Now, okay, how come this isn't bigger then? This should be everything to everyone. I mean, the chewing the gum, the pauses, the smacking... The self-reverential garbage.
I mean, there's a picture of him, like, with his face, like, staring at a TV, kind of reverential, as he said. It says, legit feel emotional watching Peaky Blinders. I mean, come on. Of course this is fake.
But it's so random. I don't, all right. Charlie, go ahead.
I think that this gentleman's brilliant and that they're the East Coast version of the West Coast Paul Walker statue acolytes from the city council meeting.
There's, I mean, there's kind of
they're
something
an East Coast
to it.
Version.
Yeah, and
like getting all into the crevices of the New Age stuff during the winter. Like I felt something when they were doing it when you first started playing it. I felt something.
All right. Well, listen. That's what I mean. Listen. Sometimes parody can be its own reward. Just that looking around, that smacking, that When people are taping themselves and their eyes like glance to the side, I hate it. They all do it. They all do it. Like, look at the camera, stupid.
Like there's a picture.
Like they're being
of him.
Pensive and like thinking. Like go to, like, what are you, the worst actor on the planet? Thinking face. Why don't you put your fist under your chin? Stupid, and do the actual thinker pose.
On election day, there's a picture of him with his shirt off, and it says, just finished working out, and he's got an Obama mask, and it says, best of luck to the Democrats. I mean, come on, Fred. This is, I mean, it's great. It's very funny.
But the idea that this kind of person could exist in real life.
Sure. And listen, there are people we've come across, but I just, it stings parody. And maybe it's just because I'm seeing the bulk of his work all at once. And if it kind of came out one by one and you were following him, like now that I'm seeing it all together, it does seem like it's parody.
Well,
and
he has a video when he's in his car that he sends out. Is it Bieber or Timberlake who does a song with it's some rapper.
Chance the Rapper?
Chance.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Justin Bieber.
Okay, so he sings that song and he goes, like, I want to be friends with celebrities and I want to be rich, not so, you know, I can eat sushi for every meal. I don't like the taste of it. But so I can be friends with the greatest minds of a generation. And you deserve that too. I don't know. I'm not positive yet.
So he said, I'm pretty sure this is Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
A little Kyrie Irving.
Sounds like him, yeah.
That looking away and that smacking. I mean, yeah, everything, the chewing gum, the false casualness of it. It's all, I don't know. This guy's something else.
Speaking of little guitar tickles.
Yes, thank you very much.
His whole green light thing, he was on everyone's podcast and everything else, and hearing him talk just over and over and over again, I mean, he doesn't have enough to say to fill all that time, and it's really something else. Mike thinks he's real. Mike thinks Eric's real.
Man, I don't know.
I could be swayed either way.
I watched one where he was talking about his modeling career, and like he's taking pictures of him like flexing, and he's like all like not in shape.
That's the one. That's the one where he works out is the one that's confused everybody.
Yeah,
because he can't do a chin up, and he films that, and you would think that the guy really wouldn't put a video of him not being able to do a chin up, but maybe that was his attempt at being self-deprecating. All right, the person's name is Eric Rahill. Eric R. Let me see if I can.
R A A. It's Eric _ R A H I L L. And by the way, our listeners have already tweeted him and saying the Touch and Rich can't figure out if you're real or if you're a parody account. So I mean, they're. I'll tweet it out. We've already said the guy's name, but I mean, it's unfortunately this guy's. It's a parody.
Then I went and working for the show.
He's great. He's very funny.
Because he also has a real tattoo that says Happy New Year with a bottle of champagne.
Do we know that it's real?
Oh, yeah, that's a real tattoo. Oh, yeah, okay. That's a real tattoo. I mean, it's a really poorly done one. All right. Well, every uncle dreads this question.
And like when he's talking about like having the date with Megan Fox, it ends with like a Photoshop of Megan Fox standing next to a Christmas present, and it says, I'm No Superman Productions.
Yeah, it's his production company. I'm No Superman. Mike thinks that he might be a youth pastor.
Oh, I mean, he's got the vibes of that. And trust me, I've known a lot of youth pastors.
Because there's nothing cooler than a youth pastor.
And they talk the same way, like, let me tell you a little something about a guy named JC.
Let me tell you about a certain long-haired ne'er-do-well that you might have heard. Yeah, he liked to be a carpenter, but on the side, he liked to, I don't know, part C's.
Listen, I'm not going to play some of your, like, uptight organ music. He's a little lady by the name of Joan Osborne. What if God was one of us? All right?
Yeah.
Like, just a slob like one of us.
Like, he'll be, like, behind the organ, and he'll go, psych, and then he'll get up and, like, grab an acoustic guitar, like, yeah, it's happening. Yeah, this is happening, guys. Like, your parents might not approve. Listen, I saw Footloose, and I rooted for Kevin Bacon. I mean, listen. Listen, if I can save one of you, I'd chalk it up for one of my sins of the past.
Yeah, this guy's good. I just tweeted it out. But, I mean, you're going to as I said, I watched a little bit of it, and he's very funny. And it sucks because if this guy was real, I mean, it would be amazing, but he's got a couple of tells in there that kind of.
All right. Well, I wanted you to look at it, and
I could be wrong. Listen, I could be wrong, but it sure does seem like. I mean, put it this way: if I'm wrong, then I want to be wrong because that would be phenomenal.
Then we're having him on the show.
Oh yeah, there's no question. No question.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rich has put that out at Toucher and Rich. Yeah. If you go to @FredToucher, you can see a picture of my feet. And now I understand why guys want to F them so bad. Ooh, look at them sexy things. All right, so we'll be back. Ty Anderson, he does not like that the Bruins let Zdeno Chara go. He's very upset about that, and he was also at the beginning of camp yesterday. We can talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, obviously we're going to miss him. He has the kind of experience and leadership qualities that you can't replace, but it leaves the door open for other guys to move up and take that opportunity and to do more. I mean, we have guys in this group that, you know, are going to need to take that next step. And
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Things started up for the Bruins yesterday. Brad Marchand saying he hasn't been healthy for a couple years.
That was eye-opening.
He said that he'd been at like 80% and he wished he had done it earlier, but it was like the left groin, and now he says he feels good. And it sounds like I didn't expect this, that he is more than likely going to be playing at the beginning of the season for them.
Yeah, and so that is good news. They're testing out the kids out there, but Ty Anderson was not happy when the news came out about Zdeno Chara signing with the Washington Capitals. And we will talk to him right now. Ty Anderson covers the Bruins and all other sports, so I'll have you know, for 98.5thesportshub.com. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Ty Anderson, hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It is going very, very well. And I will tell you this, is that you were very upset about Zdeno Chara leaving.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it, and I'm still not. I mean, it's been one day of camp, but I still don't see how you're going to get top four production out of the options that you have remaining. And I do think that you're still dug in on winning a championship with this core. I mean, it's not so much that Chara is gone. It's that Chara is gone, Krug's gone. You made zero, additions at that position, and now you're just relying on the kids. But you still have two 35-year-old centers, Brad Marchand, 32, Tuukka's 33, Halak's 34. It's, you know, it's kind of like you're trying to do two things at once here. You want to develop the young kids, and you want to win a championship. So I don't think you can do those two things at the same time, especially on defense. So for me, it's like, okay, if these kids aren't any good, what do? Because you can't win the championship with a defense made up of 22-year-olds who don't know how to play. It's just impossible. So looking at the situation now and having more context, I don't necessarily maybe hate it as much, but I want to know the plan. I want to know how the plan, you know, plays out. I want to see what they do, but I just don't know if there is a concrete plan right now, and that's frustrating.
The one thing I think it's on Chara that he didn't just retire. I mean, he's making no money for a hockey player, and that was my opinion on it. But regardless of that, the one thing that I can't argue against is when you say, well, they signed Kevin Miller, you know, and they're paying him what they're paying him, which isn't a lot, but it's more than Chara's making by a lot. And that was the one thing that I can't give a reason for, or I can't make a case for. I understand that he was rusty yesterday, but he, you know, could skate and he looked good. Do you know the theory behind bringing Kevin Miller back?
Well, I think looking at it, it might just be a role difference, right? That even if Miller's healthy, is he playing half the games? Is he playing, you know, 75% of the games, even less? So I think that's a difference, whereas Chara's a prideful guy. He probably didn't want that kind of role.
Yeah.
My understanding was that Chara was not going to be playing on back-to-backs.
Yes.
Maybe on 3 and 4s, he was going to be sitting out game number 3 or the first game, whatever it was. So it's difficult to be the team captain if you're not playing every day. Right. And I think Chara understands that. And he doesn't want to go out like that. So I do think
he should have gone out.
He's going to be playing a similar role to what we would have seen here in Boston with the Capitals. I just think the difference is that they told him, "Hey, we're probably not going to sit you. If we can avoid it, we're not going to sit you down unless we absolutely have to." So maybe that's the difference.
That Kevin Miller would accept that role and that Chara wouldn't. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That's sort of been what Miller has done. I mean, you go back to when he was his final, healthy season, and he was in and out of the lineup. You know, he had improvements, but they also had Connor Clifton playing, John Moore playing. So that rotation works for a guy like Miller more than it works for a guy like Chara.
Okay, so there is logic to it.
Well, yeah, there's logic to it, but still, Fred, we were talking about just how many holes are still left to fill with Krug gone and obviously Chara as well. And I'm wondering just from what you saw yesterday or what you've been able to figure out, because I know you were talking about giving the young guys a shot. Do they have the young guys to fill these spots to be able to be somewhat similar to being as effective as they were last season?
And again, let me just go on the record and saying again, they couldn't keep Krug. That was not an option.
No, I understand, but they didn't do anything to fill that spot.
But there wasn't money. It doesn't exist.
But they didn't get even somebody for less money that would, I guess, be not as drastic as a drop as what's happened now.
Ty, maybe, was there? Okay, let's put it this way: was there an option that was there a path that the Bruins didn't take that was available to them to fill a hole left by Torrey Krug?
It would have required moving money out, and we've seen how difficult that is for a lot of these teams. I mean, Tampa Bay couldn't give away Tyler Johnson for free, so right. You probably would have had to have traded either a Nick Ritchie, John Moore, or Jake DeBrusque. Now, the problem with moving Ritchie is that he doesn't make a lot of money, doesn't free up much. DeBrusque didn't have a contract, so a team would have to pay him, and John Moore has 3 years remaining on his current deal. So this was a difficult summer to shed money off the books. A lot of teams that were able to move contracts, they were one-year deals. They didn't have anything. They didn't have a ton of money left due. That was a problem. There's also the problem of the expansion draft where they didn't want to, if they kept Torrey Krug, it was probably going to come with a no-trade clause, which meant they had to protect him and risk losing a Carlo or a Grizzlick in the expansion draft, which they wouldn't want to do just based on their age. What I will say, though, is that the original question is, do I believe that they have the guys who can replace 40 minutes of top four production? No, I don't. I think that Jeremy Lozon is the closest thing to a sure bet. Vaakanainen looks okay. Zboril, I expected more out of yesterday, given the opportunity in front of him. But if you ask me, no, this opening night left side is going to be Grizzlick, Lozon, and John Moore. I'm not sure that one of these guys can beat out one of those players for that position, and that's kind of a problem.
Real quick, I read something that Maz wrote yesterday, and he was talking about how one of the reasons that he felt that they got rid of Char was because it was holding Charlie McAvoy back and his development, and that it was keeping him. I mean, I guess if you've got a guy as slow as Char on your line, that could stunt your development as a defenseman. Do you buy into that?
I don't, only because I think that McAvoy was sort of he was already carrying the pairing. I mean, You look at the playoffs; he was already the number one, in my opinion.
Right.
And Chara was doing a fine job. I think what we're going to miss with Chara is just that he was playing 21 minutes a night, but they were the hardest 21 minutes that the game had to offer. I mean, you're talking these zone faceoffs against the top lines and power plays all game long. And so that's where I say, I don't know if you can replace that, because Jeremy Lozon, for all the good he did last year, he was scratched in 7 out of 10 playoff games. So you're telling me that he wasn't good enough to be in that lineup seven times in the playoffs.
But you put Chara in those positions in the playoffs, and a lot of times you walked away saying, why the hell is Chara on the ice? I mean, Chara wasn't good in the playoffs. He played poorly. And
at least he was playing, though. That's what I'm saying. But the other guy couldn't play.
I understand. But the thing is that if you have Chara and you're in the playoffs, you're obviously going to trot him out there because of the experience and who he is. But unfortunately, it wasn't working anymore. So the theory that he can't play every night and the whole captain and legacy that he had here came back. And like you said, I mean, I agree with everything you said. It bit him in the ass and he didn't want to do that, which he should have probably just retired and said, this is where I am now, and taken the role with the team and enjoyed his night at the when they retire his jersey. But that's not the, I mean, that's just not the case. So, I mean, the Bruins are in a situation, the NHL's in a situation where they really they can't replace Krug. There's just not money available. They would have the contracts that they had were unmovable that they'd want to move. And the do you want to get rid of a DeBrus? Do you want to, I mean, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul. And
yeah,
so
they get their own issues up front as it is.
Yeah, and so I mean, really, I mean, is there any team that greatly improved this offseason, Ty, in your opinion? Greatly improved?
Greatly? No. I do think that there were teams that made stylistic tweaks and they made some value signings. I would put Washington in that category. I think that they found a way to sort of improve their overall depth, and that includes Chara. I just for me, it comes back to the fact that we had this conversation for years, right? Leading up to, we knew that Chara was on borrowed time. We knew that Torrey Krug's contract situation was a little dicey at best. And for years, the Bruins looked for a left shot defenseman, and the best they landed on was John Moore. And that's not an insult to John Moore. It's just that you probably should have made more of an effort to find that next guy, because now we have the rotation, the revolving door of lottery tickets, where we hope one works, but we have no idea if they can actually play a top four role full-time in the NHL.
Yeah, and you're not going to know, and it's not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but you're also never going to know unless you give them those minutes. Because when Chara is not there, yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, because if I'm a coach and Chara is there and I go, look at the experience this guy has and playoff experience this guy has and pressure situations this guy has, of course I'm going to put him in. But that,
of course,
then you're no one else in your team's going to have that.
And you've been waiting for first-round picks like Vekanainen and Zboril for how long now?
Yeah, like three, 4 years. Yeah. So, yeah, at this point, well, no one's going to have the experience because no one got the opportunity at that experience. Now, they hadn't earned it. But now you're going to find out exactly what you have, for better or for worse.
I just don't know if I like the find out what you have method when, as Ty was saying, your veterans on offense are getting older and that window's just about to be
the
shut.
The reality of professional sports.
I think Sweeney is kind of leaning towards rebuild over winning a title. I mean, honestly, he'll never say
They're a favorite to win.
He'll never say that, but, I mean, Ty, it seems obvious. You're absolutely right. You can't have guys that don't know what they're doing, you know, go on a long run and win a cup. Sweeney knows that, too, yet he's playing these kids. I think he's made up his mind, and it's time to move on.
Yeah, my problem with that, though, is that why do you go out and sign Craig Smith? He's 31. Yeah. He'll be 34 by the time the final year of his contract. So this is where what is the long-term goal of the organization? And I like Craig Smith, and this is what's frustrating for me, because I look at this roster and I say, you're going to get at least one or two more good years out of Tuukka and Halak, just based on the way they're playing, based on how goalies age and whatnot. You have at least one or two more years out of that 1-2. And I look up front and I say, wow, Bergeron, he's looking great, but again, 36 next year. Krejci can be a free agent. He's 35. You know, you have a few, you've already sort of squeezed this lemon. I think you've been lucky to get what you've gotten out of it, but you still have at least one more productive year. So I look at the roster and I see a pretty good roster. Yeah. I see one glaring hole though, and that's on that left side. And that's what's scary to me, because the team defense is make or break, in my opinion. That is what will separate you from being an early exit or a cup winner. You look at the last few years of Stanley Cup winners, they've all had great deep defenses. And now this is this team's Achilles heel. It seems like they can never find the perfect balance, right? Now they finally have right wings. All right, cool. Now they have a glaring hole on defense. It's like they can never find the perfect balance that a lot of the teams that have beat them in the playoffs have found a way to develop.
Or you'll get a team like St. Louis that just, it was one of those years. I mean, this team's going to make the playoffs. This team's going to win a lot of games. This team's going to get a lot of points in the regular season. And we'll see if this defense can hold up. Unfortunately, it's just the way it goes. It would have been nice to get another cup out of these guys. And, I mean, Vegas has got him as one of the top four teams. So we'll see how it goes. Ty Anderson Read him at 985thesportshub.com. Lots of stuff up there. Always appreciate the time.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Fellow straight edge guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Puts the X on the old hand when he walks into the club.
He does. He says, no more for me, sir. I had someone reach out. They said, do you want non-alcoholic craft beer? And I said, no.
I'll take the alcoholic.
And I think they sent it anyway.
No, I don't want non-alcoholic craft beer. I don't want craft beer.
Well, there's some in the Jock Lounge for you if you want it.
Oh, delicious. Yeah. I appreciate the gesture, but no, I don't want that. If you send me free stuff, though, I might take a picture of it and put it up there on Instagram.
Speaking of which, Fred, there are a couple of packages that just seem to have made their way up from the downstairs. So perhaps during the commercial break, they can be
There's one without a return address, which I will not open. That's waiting for Nick to come back. He's already had COVID. And
have Nick do anything when he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, if you send me things, it's no guarantee that I'll put it on Instagram, but there might be, I mean, I might do it, I might not. You're certainly the items that people have sent to me are up here for all to see on Twitch.
Sure. You're turning into the Dan Patrick Show there in front of
me. I know. Field. Chad Finn loves the Dan Patrick Show.
Popsicles? Any popsicle signs?
If someone sent me a popsicle sign, I'd nail it to my forehead. Because that's what I'm after. Rain or shine, cold or hot. Yeah. Daddy likes his popsicles. All right. We will be back. Everyone relax about the Bruins. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They're going to be a higher seed than not, and we'll see what happens.
You were pretty down
there
on them at the end of this. I mean, you didn't feel too good about them at the end of everything.
The bubble was a joke, and the bubble was. And now, from what I'm hearing about Rask, I understand why he left. If what I'm hearing is true, and I would have done the same thing, so you know, good on him. But
they couldn't score. Like they had a hard time scoring.
The bubble was a joke, and I'll tell you how. Because when what's his face, Cooper, whatever, from Tampa Bay, talked after the game, after they won the cup, the first thing out of his mouth was how horrible it was. And when you hear that, then you know this guy has just achieved his life's dream, and his first thought is just how awful the last month has been.
Are the Bruins a better team than Tampa Bay right now?
No.
Yeah.
No. But there's no way they could be.
I know. They got smashed in the play. That's the thing. They got smashed in the playoffs by Tampa. If there's Tampa's still in their way,
If there's Tampa is not probably as good as they were last year. But if there's a cap, there's a salary cap. There was no way they could get as good as Tampa. Tampa's that team right now. I mean, and that's a team that you're going to have to beat in the playoffs, or someone's going to have to beat in the playoffs. And Tampa's proven before that they can lose.
Yes, the good news is they're in a different division this year. Yeah. So.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.85 The Sports Hub. Is this Agent Orange?
Yes, yes, yes.
Ah.
I believe this is Pipeline? Living in Darkness from front to back. It might be like only like 25 minutes long. That is a great, great album.
The guy I follow with the huge record collection just had this 45 out over Christmas.
It's so good. And it's the soundtrack to what? The Vision Skate videos back in the day?
They
were Cal Peralta. They were Vision, right? Yeah, they were Vision.
And Gator killed the chick.
That movie, that documentary is nuts.
That's a good documentary. If you want to see a good documentary, you can Google Rob Rokowski. What was his last name?
Oh, I forget. It's called like The Life and Times of Gator, or Gator, The Life and Times of Mark. Oh.
Raga, because I used to have my big deck when I was a kid, because I skated so much vert. was a gator deck.
And I wanted Rob, a gator deck. I didn't have that.
Oh, I had it, baby. With pink grip tape and pink rails. All right.
I had a Steve Caballero. That's what I used to run.
Oh, that's kind of, that's a, listen, that's a bones. He still skates. All right. So Joe Judge is a no-nonsense mother effer. By the way, Adam Gase, the big rumor now, is that he would take the Alabama OC job over the Patriots OC job.
He's going to have to fight Bill O'Brien for that gig, because I guess those two are the two that are in consideration.
Because the Alabama, how about this for a college program? The Alabama OC job is considered the best non-head coaching job in all of football, including the NFL. That legitimizes you instantaneously.
Because there's no way you can look bad, because the recruiting is so unbelievable.
You're working with talent that's better than the NFL.
You're working with elite talent. You're working with a absolute elite system. And, you know, there's no rules. It's not like the NFL. Like, you go to the Patriots now, they don't have any offensive talent. You go to Alabama, they're always going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, a horrible season for them is two losses. So, you know, a bad season for them is two first-round picks instead of four. So, I mean, they have those two receivers.
Both who are going to go in the top first 10. Round. Yeah.
All right. So, and they have the Hurt kid over the Heisman kid. All right. So, Joe Judge doesn't like what happened on Sunday Night Football with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Which is hysterical. There have been so many people.
They're so butthurt. It's so funny.
Even Shaughnessy wrote this article.
I know.
Like, league should come down on Peter.
Right. And how do you look in the face of men and tell them, oh, go screw.
And here's the thing. Here's the great thing about all of it. And listen, this has been
with your stupid
times,
garbage team, why don't you teach them to win, dum-dum?
Yeah, Giants won six games. Yeah, shut up.
Instead of scoreboard watching on Sunday night at the last week 17.
The other thing,
big
too,
big leader
is that
of men, dum-dum.
If I'm an Eagles fan, good job, Doug Peterson. You got us up three spots in this draft, which, you know, for everything we've learned about it, that's pretty valuable in this draft.
It's incredibly valuable in this draft. Ask the Patriots, who are on the outside looking in of anything that they'd want. There's no edge rushers in this draft. If I'm right, I think I'm right, but Lockhart can tell me if I'm wrong. And all the quarterbacks except for garbage are going to be gone. Or incredibly flawed quarterbacks, because I don't trust anyone coming out of Alabama. Again, they've been coached at an elite level, and they're throwing to elite talent. When you have two receivers on your team that are going to go in the top 10, I don't trust you. When you have a Heisman candidate as your running back who set some SEC record in touchdowns, I don't trust you. I understand that you have an incredibly high completion percentage on balls thrown over 30 yards, and that you have a decent arm. I don't trust you.
Michigan has an edge rusher that's supposedly good.
Okay, so there's an edge rusher. Okay, there's one. I mean, that's all I see.
Doug Peterson do what's best for the team, Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's called it before the game. He said he was going to do it. So he took out Jalen Hurts, and he put in Jack Sudfeld, or whatever the hell the guy's name is. And here is Joe Judge bemoaning the fact that this happened. But instead of just saying it sucks because we are a garbage team that could have lucked into the playoffs, he has to turn it into about what a hotshot leader of men he is.
Obviously, players have asked me throughout the day, and I just can't express that. I think one thing to keep in mind.
Did your nephew ask you anything else during the day, too, and you had to tell him that you wished for world peace, but it didn't happen?
By the way, that's totally fake, because at one point, somebody sent me a video of that guy.
I know. I don't want to talk about it.
His three-year-old nephew asked him.
I saw it.
There you go.
Yeah. So, well, he's a great comic. I want him on the show. I want him working for us.
Very funny.
We had a lot of people opt in to this season, okay? We had a lot of people opt in. All right, coaches, players. That includes family members as well. All right, so
unlike everyone else,
I was just going to say every other NFL team has this.
No, everybody else. The NFL, F the NFL. Oh, well, I thought about this. Oh, Cam Newton came to, and listen, this is, I don't have a problem with Cam Newton, but Cam Newton came to work at 6 in the morning and left at 10 at night. First of all, that's dumb. I tell him you need sleep if you're going to perform at an extreme level. And second of all, yeah, if I had a place I could go all day that would feed me and entertain me and give me massages, I'd spend all day there too. They're acting like this is that he sat in a bunker with shell fire going on all around him. He went to a place that takes care of you and coddles you like a baby. Give me a break. Oh, so horrible to be at the facility, to be at some luxurious. It's being at a 5-star spa all day. Wow, awful. God, these guys got to get over themselves.
To look at a group of grown men who I ask to give me effort on a day-in, day-out basis and to empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage.
Well, you failed. You know how many times? 12.
Or 10. 14. Or what, yeah. 10.
10.
Yeah, all right, math.
And play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game.
Yeah.
The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in.
Oh, shut up. I come to work every day and they don't have me tested. They don't test anyone. Oh, I came into work every day. Go screw.
Well, it's not like you have to run 8 miles and 8 4-minute miles to test. You show up, you get a cotton swab.
No, you're lucky you get tested every day. Everyone around you tested every day.
But
that's a hardship for you? I sat in a car for an hour with an appointment waiting to get tested. What, that's a big problem? All these luxuries, all these things, leader of men. Oh, yeah, such leader of men. Wait, go have another guy shoot himself.
Please,
in the legs. Plaxico Burress.
He wasn't there for that.
It's though. Different. I
mean, regardless. Yeah.
Different head coach.
Well, whatever. A decade ago, maybe even more.
There's someone on that team doing something wrong.
I see.
I'm sure that's true.
They came in here every day, like everyone else. We had to get tested every day. I would love to get tested every day. Test me every day for free. Yes.
Fred, you know what? The one thing about
they
all
took
this,
a nasal swab for 5 seconds every day.
Seriously, that's great.
Giants fans are covering themselves in butter hearing this. You know what?
Good. Leonard Williams is a free agent. Have fun. Yeah,
good on Joe Judge because he just got people to stop talking about them only winning 6 games. Now they're like, this is the man for the job.
Yeah, that's gonna resonate forever in that locker room. That's right. That's from what I know about NFL players. That's all they want to hear all the time.
Or you can demand accountability.
I'm always
going
to put my team in a position to win. That's what Doug Peterson did.
Yeah.
He got you a better draft pick.
He was so crazy to play a backup quarterback in a meaningless game. Get out of here. Get out of here, you butthurt moron. Yeah, you wanted the team to lose. I get it. You wanted Washington to lose. It behooved you to have that happen. Get out of here. Stop it. All right. Will Brinson's going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.